have been confirmed to us by people from other churches, people from inside the church, and all the rest of it. And so what we'd like to do is to share three baskets worth. We can't think of any other collective name better than that. So we come up with three baskets of what we believe God is saying to us and are relevant for CCF and our church here in the year ahead. And as we share these with you, we ask you too that you will prayerfully consider them. There are loads of scriptures, but in particular 1 Corinthians 14, 1 Thessalonians 5, Isaiah 8, it talks there about weighing up any of the prophetic words that you may receive and making sure they don't contradict the word of God. So as we share these with you, we ask that you do that. The TCF leaders have already done that, and we want to, in this time, ask you to ask God, is there anything that you're saying to me specifically out of what has been shared this morning, as well as to the church here as a whole? So, my 10 minutes. No. It might be 10 minutes and 25 seconds. We're going to make sure it works first. I'm going to start off with moving forward in a way that we have never moved before. And at one of our leaders' meetings, I had a strong image of, in my mind, of a chessboard and all its pieces. Chess, if you don't know, is a very interesting game. It's a board game, a skill for two players, played on a checkered board, like I've got behind me. And on it, each piece is moved according to a precise set of rules. And the object is to put the opponent's king under a lot of pressure, under a direct attack from which escape is impossible. And that is called checkmate. Now, you'll be pleased to hear, I am not here to teach you how to play chess. Okay? But my mind was drawn to two chess pieces in particular. One being the pawn, and the second being the rook, or sometimes it's called the castle. The pawn pieces, there are eight of them on each side, and they are predominantly moved forward one square at a time. I know at the start you can move two, but after that it's predominantly one square at a time. And then the rook, there are four of them, one in each corner. These are very powerful pieces when you play chess, second only to the king or the queen. And they can be moved in straight lines, forwards, backwards, left, right, and all the rest of it, across an unlimited amount of squares, as long as another piece isn't in the way. And I think that the pawns may reflect how TCF has been over recent years. Coming from a place of great difficulty to a time of rebuilding a new foundation, then starting to move from a position of inward looking to outward looking, and then moving on to what we believe God is saying to us, but all one step at a time. And it's been similar to advanced units of an army. Sometimes armies actually send people out, forerunners, they forage into the advance, into the enemy lines, little bit by bit a bit, and they go into behind enemy lines and pawns, a bit like a chessboard. They are limited to their gains, and they just remove one or two things of the opposition. And foraging forward in inverted commas, I think that's been necessary. But now I believe God is saying to us, it's time to use the rooks. Time to use the rooks, as they are called. The word rook is a Persian word. It means chariot. I didn't know that until I looked up on Google, but that's where it came up. And as we know, a chariot is a very, very powerful part of an army. Just ask Ben Hur. We sense that God is about to move us into a new transition period of advancing. Time to move out of the safer zone from the back of the board to be part of the great advance in our community through him. And then when I was thinking about this, I just sensed that God was saying to us that each of the four rooks represented something very, very specifically. First rook, I sense that God was saying, that is prayer. That is prayer. That is unity. Sorry, I'm reading wrong notes. That is unity. Not only together, but also unity with other local churches. Cooperation with the other East Thurrock churches in this area. And that is currently happening in ways now that it actually hasn't happened before. Second one is prayer. Sorry about that. I just sense that God was saying the second rook is prayer. In particular, intercessory prayer. Getting serious about prayer. And that also is very much happening in TCF at the time. Guess what I said? Thought the third one was? Fasting. Fasting. I just sense that God was saying that we need to do this in the church. And we need to recognise that this is the forerunner to change. And also the forerunner to new life coming. And that is part and parcel of one of the reasons why we're going through this fasting season at this time. Then the fourth rook, I sense that this is very interesting. I was sensing that God was saying, don't worry about that now. I'm not going to tell you what that is. Hence the actual question mark, which was very confusing for myself. And God was saying, don't worry about this time, that at this time, because I'm going to reveal what that fourth one is in its right time. It may be giving, but we will actually have to wait and see. But let us note, all these descriptions are all about being active, not standing still descriptions, and we need to prepare and recognise and join in with God's intended powerful moves in his church here. Stilts! When I was a youngster, lots of good stories for you. You. When I was a youngster, my dad made us children a set of wooden stilts. It was great fun to walk around everywhere, an additional 3 foot off the ground. It gave you a new perspective of things, and you could see loads of new things from a greater height. But you just didn't just hop onto the stilts and off you go walking around all over the place. It was a balancing skill that you had to learn, and you had to practice, and you had to practice, and you had to practice again and again and again until they were almost a natural extension of your legs. In the early days, you fell off more times than you were able to stand up. Now, my dad, he handmade those stilts. They weren't built off Amazon because Amazon didn't exist at that time. The footrests were just in the right place. He hand-carved the tops of the handles so we're able to have a secure grip. And likewise, our Father wants to lift us up to see a different perspective, his plan and what he wants to do. There's a song which Andy sometimes plays when he's leading worship, You Raise Me Up, that song. And in there is a line which says, to more than I can be. And I think that this very much describes what our Father's heart is for each of us. Theme park rides. There are quite a few high G velocity theme park rides out there today. Not far down the road from where my son lives in Virginia, there is a theme park ride called the King's Dominion Park. And when we go there with the grandchildren, I sometimes look up at these rides and I'm thinking, I'm not too sure about this. I always try and convince myself that at the end of the ride, I am still going to be alive. So what is there to worry about? So with a sense of apprehensiveness, I still queue up to go on that ride. And at the end of it, I think, wow, that was absolutely incredible. I want to go and do it again. And I just sense that God is saying there's a new ride coming here from the Lord. And we have the choice to go on that ride or not. It's not going to be an adventure. And although we may be apprehensive about it, we remain safe in God's hands. And from that, my thoughts just went on. And I was thinking about this, and I was just sensing God was saying, the church will not grow unless there's a move of the Holy Spirit, including the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And I sense God was saying to us, what sort of church do you want? The kind of church that is unique in Thurrock? Do you want a church which has got over 200 people in it, like we did have before, many years ago. Do you want to have a nucleus of like-minded people? Do you yearn for a huge outpouring of the Holy Spirit, an epicenter for a great revival? Do you want to be a sending out church? But whatever God's plan is, it's going to take more focus and emphasis than ever before. And his encouragement through this is to, are you going to go for the mega roller coaster? Or are we going to go for the kiddies roundabout? Are you prepared for a new ride? Are you prepared? Am I prepared for a new ride? Or are we going to opt out? Bicycle with stabilisers. Quite a few months ago, we bought our granddaughter a new bike for her birthday. And as you expect, being a little girl, we had stabilisers fitted to it. And off she went, quite happy, very safe, and she was enjoying herself. But after a while, she was realising that her stabilisers, whilst keeping her safe, were also quite a bit restrictive, and you couldn't go across all terrains. You could only go on flat concrete, and she wanted to go across the park and all the rest of it. So after a while, her stabilisers came off. And although she was a little bit apprehensive at first, she soon got her balance right, and she found a new freedom in where she could go, including the promenade at Canvey Island. What she wasn't aware of too much was there was an immense pride from Grandpa, who was seeing her joy in riding her bike without the stabilisers. She had grown up. She wasn't too aware of that Grandpa was what was very close behind and encouraging her all the time. She wasn't too aware of that Grandpa was actually pointing out the various dangers ahead, so she didn't ride straight into the River Thames. So she had enough time to brake. She had enough time to stop or react to them. And I'm just sensing that God is saying to us, now is the time for our stabilisers to be removed, so we can explore new ground that we haven't been able to do so before. He is behind us. He is pleased with us. And he is encouraging us, but at the same time, he is making us aware of potential hazards ahead. So in summary, I think now is a time to move from a position of just making most of the opportunities that may come our way to share the good news of Jesus, to a place where we are deliberately going out there and believing to see Jesus directly intervening in the lives of people. In other words, going to the world, proactively looking for opportunities to pray for people, bring healing, bring life-changing episodes, and introducing people to him. Moving on from just probing forward one step at a time into claiming ground for Jesus, seeing God's miraculous power at work, changing people's lives. In other words, moving forward in a way that we have never moved before. Okay, think about these things. So before the prophecies, I want to talk about a prophet. And I want to thank Jesus for giving us Lisa Moynihan. Okay? I want to thank God for giving us Lisa Moynihan with her powerful, sharp prophetic ministry as a gift to the church. Many of us could and should benefit from her gifting. And I would actually encourage us, why not spend some time with her while she's housebound, and also help her at the same time. The Bible speaks about visiting our brothers and sisters when they're sick, so you will receive a blessing, guaranteed, if you do that. And I think it's the reason that Judith goes and sees her so frequently, actually. get a prophecy. But I'm getting round to why I'm saying this. As well as prophecy, she also moves in the message of knowledge. Remember, we talked about that, didn't we, a few weeks ago? That often validates that. And she brought a series of very encouraging words to me. And then she ended by saying this. She said, God's saying something that I don't quite understand, Andy. She said, I feel even silly writing it, but it may mean something to you. God is saying to you, with a chuckle, we may not all have Chinese silk rivers, but that does not mean we don't deserve one. Really random, right? Anyone know what that means? Many years ago, our dear friend Mark Birch Machin was given the gift of a beautiful handmade, hand-dyed river, you know, of expensive Chinese silk as a prophetic visual example, Ezekiel 47. And it must have cost a fortune in materials. And in November 2016, when Mark led his first prophetic workshop here, he used it to invite people to submerge themselves in the river of God. If you were part of this, you probably remember that. But the point being, there's no way humanly that Lisa could have known that. No way on earth. But God told her, and she used that to encourage me. We may not all have Chinese silk rivers, but that does not mean we don't deserve one. And it just kind of switched on and validated everything else she'd said. And so one of the things that she did say is this, and this is where it ties in with John's chessboard. She said, I've just remembered some of the things that God told me about how to get rid of strongholds. One of the things was fasting as a church, she said, completely independently. She didn't know John's chessboard thing at all. God said, people don't realize how important fasting is. It's good for the body, mind, and spirit. God is also saying that it's disobedient not to do fasting. He also says it shows a lack of faith that he will completely sustain us. People can build up slowly, but set attention as a church and then fast and pray. Another thing, as part of the same word, she said, is for us to tithe. Some of the congregation don't understand it, but we need to understand how it unites the church. Also, it allows God to give us more blessings. So this happened about the same time as John's chessboard dream that he had, and we got some of the rooks. We knew what they were. The third one was probably fasting, and the fourth one, not quite sure at the time, but she brought that in as a tithe, one of the ways to break strongholds. And first three rooks were very practical things, aren't they? Working at unity, working at prayer and intercession, working at fasting, doing things ourselves. And so it's not unreasonable that the fourth thing would be something that we do ourselves as well. And giving, generous giving, something that's already very topical in our leadership discussions, and from time to time we mention it in church, and today is the special first fruits offering as well. It's something that's important. It's interesting that over the years, if you track the giving in TCF, it's gone down. So God is, I think, is saying now is the time to pull that up again. So I've already spoken and preached on Daniel's partial fast, and we're in the middle of that. This is something that God is so excited about. So we should be excited about it as well. The first day of the fast the first day after the fast ends is the 24th of the first month. If you read Daniel 10, it's the 24th of the first month. So our fast ends on the 23rd of January. The next day is the 24th of the first month. Isn't that amazing? It's almost like someone set it up that way, isn't it, really? So let's expect revelation, just like Daniel did, on the 24th of the first month and thereafter. And we need to talk about tithing and generous giving some more as well and apply ourselves to these biblical principles. I do know that some people here are poor and would become richer as a result of obeying those commands in Scripture. Because as you give, God blesses you. Guaranteed. It's an absolute guarantee in Scripture. If you're feeling financially poor, then up your giving. Trust God. Test Him in that. As we practice these basic disciplines of the Christian faith, we'll be made ready to follow Jesus in doing extraordinary things in our generation. And I feel God is saying, spend time training yourself on the basics, and then you will be ready to do extraordinary things with me. He also said to me, it was actually during a leaders' meeting, prepare not just for a big church, but for a big kingdom. Not only you've heard of the quiet revival now, not only a quiet revival with private repentance, but an outward expression of the kingdom in the public arena. How will your faith interact with national agendas and godless governments? How will you steer and educate the nations? How will you disciple new leaders who lead not churches, but corporations, charities, schools, universities, and governments? Prepare for kingdom government in all its facets. Prepare for exponential growth in this region. Prepare that nursery. Prepare that nursery. And that's really a key thing, isn't it? If you're expecting a baby, you prepare the baby room, the nursery, the baby. And if you come across a person and they've done no preparation whatsoever, you question, are you really pregnant? Are you actually expecting this baby? You've done nothing, you know. You aren't. And I believe that's true of us. If we're expecting a great revival, what are we doing to prepare the nursery? God says, do what you can do, and I will do what only I can do. Let's rule and reign together. Ask me both for the impossible and for the ordinary. So let's prepare for this. Let's prepare to disciple nations, not just individuals. Jesus said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them, etc. So if you believe a baby's on the way, you'll prepare the nursery. If we fail to prepare the nursery, and that means a lot of different practical things, it sends God the message that we don't really believe he's going to send us new babies in Christ in any big number. So it's like we have to get ahead of things. We have to do things that people will say, well, why are you doing that? You've only got 35 people. Why are you doing that? We need to invite that kind of criticism. And then finally, Paul Fenwick, who's an amazing prophet up north, lives near Mark Birch Machin, sent me some prophetic declarations, and he spoke them over my life from the 1st of December onwards. But I said, who are they for, Paul? And he said, well, you and anyone that you think needs it will be blessed by it. So I'm going to also pass it on to TCF. And so here are the 8 declarations, and then I'll finish. Number 1, I declare, so he's saying that, and I'm saying that, and we're saying that, I declare that December 2025 onwards will be a month of unprecedented breakthroughs and new beginnings for you. Amen. Amen. You can say amen. Let's say amen. Number 2, I declare that the heavens are open over your life, releasing an outpouring of divine favor, grace, and miracles. Amen. Amen. 3, I declare that every barrier and limitation in your life is being broken in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I declare that you are stepping into a deeper level of intimacy with God. Amen. Amen. I declare that your perspective is being shifted and you are seeing things through God's eyes. Amen. Seeing on stilts, yes. I declare that the voice of wisdom is rising up in your life, guiding you and directing your steps. Amen. Amen. 2 more. I declare that you are entering a season of abundant harvest where you will reap the rewards of your faithfulness. Amen. Amen. And finally, I declare that God is doing a new thing in your life and that you are ready to embrace the unexpected. The unexpected. Amen. Amen.
The unexpected. Guess what I was given to talk on?
We didn't think this
at all. We didn't even know which order we were going to be in. John sent a message last night and said, so who's doing what when? And we just went, okay, that'll do. So you can start recording now. Expect the unexpected. You have heard us say before that, it seems ridiculous to me to say this, but it is 50 years since God gave us the following verse. And it became the strapline of Thurrock Christian Fellowship, and it was our identity. Down? Is this right?
Down arrow?
Yeah.
Where would that point? Thank you. The least of you will become 1,000, the smallest a mighty nation. I am the Lord. In its time, I will do this swiftly. Isaiah 60, verse 22. We have also described in the past, I need to like bring you along to where we are, how the verse has been brought to us again and again by random people over various years in various situations. And I was there on a couple of those occasions. I wasn't there on the original occasion. So young. But I was there when it was confirmed to us. And I have to say, you know, when it comes out of the blue, it's like an arrow. It's straight and true, and it confirms God's word, and it confirms his faithfulness to us. There's not really time to give you context this morning, but about 12 years ago, the TCF went through a really rough patch, which required some very tough decisions from the leadership. And after this time, we invited a friend to come and speak into the situation and pray with us and prophesy over us. But we didn't give that person any information. So no background, nothing that was significant to us, no previous words of God. We in a way, I think as leaders, we were also saying, we're open to hear something new. We're open, you know, if we've got to throw all this out the window, baby, bathwater, bubbles, the whole lot, it can go, because we really want to find out what God wants for us. Guess which verse they gave us? It was Isaiah 60, verse 22. It was so exciting. I mean, they brought us something else as well. Don't have time. It was so exciting. You know, God's vision for this area and for this community of believers had not changed. Somehow it had all gone a bit pear-shaped. Somehow we hadn't quite grasped what he was saying. But his word remained true, even if the circumstances and the people had changed. So this word swiftly, this word, it quickly, unplanned maybe is in that a sense as well, but it's sort of expected because it was of God. So God had said he would do it, so we sort of expected him to do it, but it wasn't really planned. So how do you expect the unexpected? And how do we recognise what we don't yet know? That's really hard. And so you think, don't go with programs, don't go with structure, but how do you then lead a people if you don't have programs and you don't have structure? Because that's all we know. I keep being reminded of Monty Python. Nobody expects the Spanish Inquisition. But anyway, for those of you who don't know, that's... So how do you expect the unexpected? We've always prayed this verse back to God, reminding him that he said he would do it swiftly, and therefore we need to prepare the nursery. Yeah. You know, if he's going to do something, then we sort of have to get prepared for it. But what are we preparing ourselves for? And it was really interesting. Over this year, this last year, we've had a number of words that have come through, which I'm now going to show you. Just in our times, in the leadership team meetings where we've prayed, we've sought God, we've asked for verses, and we always get this thing, well, I haven't got anything but. That's Glenda's famous phrase. I don't have anything, but God did show me. And also, a lot of what we see, you hope that there'll be a thread. You know, like John will say something, and Andy goes, oh, yes, and I've got this, and I say, oh, yes, I've got this. It doesn't always work like that, but looking back over the year, you see a thread, and that's what I want to show you today. There you go. So, yes, 12th of February, we started getting it. Come, Holy Spirit, allow him to move in unexpected and expected ways. 21st of May, Paul Fenwick again. Renew, reconnect, release, ready yourselves for the unprecedented. Prepare to be utterly transformed. So it's going to be something different and we need to prepare. 16th of July, John's dog only decided he liked... I love John's dog. So it's John's dog or John's granddaughter or... But God speaks a lot through the dog and the granddaughter. He only decided he liked water. when it was really hot and he was really thirsty. Up until then, they'd have problems getting him in the water. He didn't want to go because he didn't like it. He was driven by thirst, and the environment created the conditions for him to go in the water. 6th of August, 1 Chronicles 22, King David amassed raw materials and skilled workers in advance for Solomon, not himself, for Solomon to begin building once he were king. Timing is of the essence. When the season is right, not Cronus, not chronological time, but Kairos, when it's the right time, the opportune time. 8th of October, John brought this word, unexpectedness and surprise seemed to be the order of the day. We'd seen crocuses blooming in October. What's that about? John had seen the thing with geese that flying in the air. The geese in October was not unusual. It was just like, how do they learn to do that? At what point does their mum say, you need to get to the back, you're in the wrong order? You know, you need to prepare for this, you need to learn how to do this. Meeting people you weren't expecting, like randomly, they should be in, I don't know, Ipswich and they're in Grays. Why is that happening? So there's this idea of unexpectedness. And then there's the TV series. Who remembers it? Tales of the Unexpected. Funny music. Things happening on carpets. I wanted to find it. I thought, we don't have time. I'm on a time thing. Blow me then. Oh, Glenda wasn't in that meeting, in the previous meeting. On the 29th of October, Glenda was in the meeting. She said, I've got a really random thing. I don't know if it's right. Got nothing really. She'd been to the football on the Saturday and the team was so predictable, but God spoke to her and said, expect the unexpected. And we all giggled because she hadn't been at the meeting previously. Be prepared for surprises and unusual events. Don't get caught off guard. Embrace unpredictability. God is going to do it his way. Shift the mindset from control to adaptability. We need to listen to God and not do things in the way we have always done them. Be ready to receive. And then randomly, Peter Wood, so Stephen, who used to be here and used to help with the chairs, and they moved to North Devon. In that week, Peter Wood said, it's been impressed upon me to send you this verse. Isaiah 60, verse 22. That was random. So this is a timeline. Oh, I don't think there's any more. Oh, yes, sorry. Last week, Glenda came out and gave a word. It's time to stop playing safe. He wants us to stop putting down limits. I want to do something. I want to equip you. I will equip you. God says you have known him for a long time. You have an understanding of his word and his spirit. I want you to step out in faith, just trusting. I think we've had that word this morning. I think that came from Mike. What I say to you and doing what you hear me say, I will fill and equip you with all that you need. We have a choice, which is what John said. We need to decide if we will do as we are asked. There's always a choice. There's always a choice. So this is a timeline for just the last year of the words that have come. And I've given it to you chronologically because it builds momentum and it's giving direction and it gives encouragement. But the swiftly, the unexpected will not happen chronologically. It is not Cronus, the Greek word. It is Kairos, the right and opportune time, which came out. I'd written this, and this came out again at the prayer night on Friday evening. You know, you sit there thinking, I could get it. We misunderstand and limit God because we are looking for logical progression. I like baking a cake. People say to me, I don't know how you bake a cake. I think I read the recipe, I put the stuff in the thing, I weigh it out, I put it in the oven. I don't know what's hard. But we control each element by weight, ratio, heat, and time. God says to us, you control nothing but the environment. And when the environment is good, I will do it swiftly. Think, David gathered all the building equipment for the temple. He prepared the environment, but Solomon built it when the time was right. The woman at the well must have gone there every day, but on one day, the time was right. Jesus also probably went to quite a few weddings in his time, but the time was right to turn water into wine at Cana. So for God to do things swiftly, we need the right environment. Harris had to be really thirsty to go in the water. The right environment requires the pursuit of his presence, the pursuit of obedience, and the pursuit of relationship. God knows what to do and when to do it. We do not need to rationalise it, we need to spiritualise it, which came out on Friday. Our responsibility is not to control every element, but to provide the environment for God to move. He works with us, but he is sovereign. By pursuing presence, obedience, and relationship with him, our minds also become renewed, and we are able to define his good and perfect will, to understand Kairos, to understand now. But that is going to mean mess, unpredictability, and unexpectedness. Some things to contribute to this are found in Isaiah 43 and Isaiah 62, also chapters which have been commended to us on numerous occasions. Forget the former things. Chuck out the structure, chuck out the program. Don't rely on what you've had in the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. If it's a new thing, we don't know what it is. It is a warning. Do not try to retain control by comparing how things were done or relying on past methods. Our default position when fearful, confused, impatient, or bored is to repeat what we know because it worked last time, or catastrophically to believe, even if it didn't work, if we try again, we'll get a different result. I think someone called that madness, didn't they? And this brings us to the other verse. Isaiah 62, verses 6 and 7. I have posted watchmen on your walls, O Jerusalem. They will never be silent day or night. You who call on the Lord, give yourselves no rest and give him no rest till he establishes Jerusalem and makes her the praise of the earth. This is how we expect the unexpected. This is a call to arms. The Roman soldier who fell asleep on watch was killed. He only fell asleep once. What the Lord is preparing to do may be swift and unexpected, but we are called to stand on the walls of this community and be ever watchful for the very reason that we do not know how to expect the unexpected. We are to badger him. We are to give him no rest and give ourselves no rest until he accomplishes his will here. That involves the unity. That involves prayer. That involves fasting. That involves turning up. That involves tithing. That involves obedience. Of those things of presence, relationship, and... No, I can't remember the other one. Presence, relationship... and obedience. That encompasses everything. This is the time. And for in its time, he promised he will do this swiftly. We need to be ready. Expect the unexpected.